You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
3 o'clock roll. Don't forget, we're on Mason and Ireland Plus today. Go to YouTube and search ESPN LA. Even Bergman on camera today. Even Bergman.
So, even Jorge.
And well, Jorge, of course. But I meant even Bergman. So, gotcha.
What does that mean?
Ireland, I'm having a customer service issue. A bad one.
Okay.
So, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. Okay? That's not what I'm trying to do. Not what I'm trying to do at all. But I bought USC tickets from a ticket website, and now I can't get the tickets. Should I say what ticket service it is, or should I?
Sure. No, absolutely.
Because I have great success with this. I'm not bagging on them, because I generally get great success. But Vivid Seats, please help me get my USC tickets. I've been trying for 2 days to get them. I've got my Dodgers tickets. I'm ready to go. But I don't have my USC tickets. So if you're from Vivid Seats, please reach out. I'm not going to try to big time everybody. But I just want my tickets, man. Because I'm about to enter the 4 games in 5 days stretch. I got USC Saturday, I got Rams Sunday, I got Dodgers Tuesday, and I got Dodgers Wednesday. So I got my back feeling better, and I'm ready for that. The only thing I'm missing is my USC ticket. So Vivid Seats, throw me a bone, as John Ireland said earlier in the show. By the way, the Rhino, or the Peppermint Hippo, sounds like a very classy establishment.
It was fun. Yeah, we had a good time. We spent way too much, but we had a good time.
Did you see any players there?
No.
That's
probably tonight.
Does it deserve a Yelp review or Yelp reviews that make it the number one gentleman's club in Las Vegas?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
You had a good time.
Other than the fact that we overspent tremendously, it was fine.
I just sent you your money.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You just sent me the money.
Yes.
You just sent me the $200 you promised you'd send me. I can't. It won't let me. I don't do Apple Pay, so it won't let me accept it.
Then I will just give you cash.
Did you Venmo?
I don't have Venmo. I only have Apple Cash. I'll give you the money for real.
Oh, wait. Now it's letting me verify my identity.
Okay,
I'll keep working on it.
So I just came across the story. I didn't tease it or anything. But the NBA has decided to do something very interesting. Have you heard about this with fans along the court side?
No, okay. I've not heard about it.
So the NBA has started to give courtside fans a card with a message if they say or do anything viewed as offensive. So they give you this card, and it is your last and only warning. You must stop. So in other words, if somebody is on the court and they're yelling at, you know, any player, or they're spilling stuff, or they're causing problems, or they're shouting obscenities, or there's physical whatever, any of that stuff, this is the card that those fans will be handed. It says, you're being issued a warning that comments, gestures, and or behaviors that you have directed at the players, coaches, game officials, or other spectators constitute excessive verbal abuse or behavior that is disruptive or interferes with a game participant or another spectator and are in violation of the NBA Code of Conduct. This is the first and only warning you will receive if, after receiving this warning, you verbally abuse any player, coach, game official, or spectator, or engage in behavior that is disruptive or interferes with a game participant, another spectator, you will be immediately ejected from the arena without refund. So here's my question. So in other words, it's almost like soccer. We're giving you a yellow card, right?
Yellow card.
Yellow card.
Yeah.
Why do they allow it to happen in the first place? In other words, why don't you...
The whole time you were telling that story, I was thinking the exact same thing. If it were me running that building, you wouldn't get a warning. If you do one of those things like you describe, you're out.
Yeah, I mean,
why do you get a warning?
Why get a warning? Exactly. Well, this is the NBA's new thing. I just read this story. They're basically saying this is your first and only warning, and if you do it again, you're done. I think you should be done before you actually get the card if you're doing something offensive or abusive.
I'm with you. I don't understand why that requires a warning or being put on double secret probation or whatever you want to call it. If you do one of the things you described, I think you're out.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't have a right to be at a game abusing other fans or players. If you do that, in my book, you're done. See ya.
Yeah, that's the way I roll too. The NBA is obviously giving people the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Here's a little warning, but in my mind, I'm with you, John. I think that one offense and you're out. It's a one and done league.
So can I ask you about something? Speaking of misbehaving,
mm-hmm.
Did you see the other night when the Rams were playing in San Francisco? The guy running the field with like a flare that had pink smoke coming out of it. I don't know if he was doing a gender reveal. Here's Kevin Harlan was doing the game on Westwood One. He described it like this.
And here comes a stoppage in play because someone has run on the field with a smoke bomb that is pink and he's running up the sideline. Now a couple of Rams come over there and make the tackle. Head first into the player who has taken the field and he's in a cloud of pink smoke so you can't see him, and now on him are a couple of security guards.
Kevin, I think this is becoming a thing. We got the pink smoke coming again. This is one of those gender reveals. Somebody at home's having a girl now.
Well, I thought maybe that the last one we saw was for some animal rights or something like that.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I just think, hey, you think about the way to reveal that you're having a girl. I'm going to run out on the field at the 49er game and get arrested just so I can let my honey at home know we're having a girl.
That guy is headed to the slammer. And it will not be a good night.
That guy is headed to the slammer.
Yeah. Kevin Harlan's great. So fast forward to yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the Ram that tackled him was Bobby Wagner.
And by the way, that had nothing to do with the gender reveal. It was some sort of factory farming protest.
Okay. So Bobby Wagner laid that guy out.
Yep. On a Waffle House frying pan.
And Tack McKinley was helping him.
Yes.
According to TMZ, the man who ran out on the field with the pink smoke.
Yep.
Went to the Santa Clara Police Department on Tuesday and filed a police report.
Ugh.
The organization that took credit for the wild scene told us, as TMZ, the report stems from a blatant assault by two Ram players. TMZ also reported that there was another protester, a woman, who was stopped from getting onto the field, while the guy with the pink smoke obviously did make it onto the field.
Right, right.
Please, please, please tell me that this is going to get thrown out. I if I'm on that jury and this guy, if you run on the field, you deserve any hit that and one of those players lays you out. I'm 100% with the player. We don't know if you've got a bomb in there. We don't know if you're like that guy that ran out onto the tennis court and stabbed Monica Seles. You give up your rights the second you disrupt a live sporting event and run onto the field with a smoke bomb. I wouldn't even entertain this. I guess you have the right to file a police report, but if this guy tries to sue Bobby Wagner and Tack McKinley for assault, I hope the Rams countersue him. What do you think?
I got a little bit of legal experience. It's not going to go anywhere. The thing is going to be totally punted out of court.
Good.
I think it will be dismissed immediately. If you run on the so we had this conversation Monday. We never show when a fan runs on the field, right?
Right.
But on the Manning cast, they did. Kevin Harlan on Westwood One described it. Even Joe Buck sort of described it and said Bobby Wagner just took him down. Now, aren't we giving them the attention that they want by recognizing them on broadcasts?
The general rule is if it's somebody doing a publicity stunt for attention, you don't mention it. Or you say something like, the game is delayed because a fan has run out into the field and he's being removed by security. And that's all you talk about. You don't mention the name. You don't describe the scene. Kevin Harlan has never been that. Kevin will describe whatever is happening.
Well, neither was Joe Buck and neither were the Mannings. They all described it. They didn't show it. They showed it apparently on the Manning cast. They did not show it on the ESPN broadcast.
That's unusual. They normally don't show it.
But I think the Mannings play by different rules.
Yeah, I don't think this protester has a leg to stand on.
No, God no. God no. You run on the field, you deserve to have your ass kicked.
It takes a lot of guts to even file. Guts isn't the right word. Takes a lot of hubris to file a police report.
Exactly. All right, so I want to get to this that I just talked about, John. This is a former Miami Dolphins linebacker named Channing Crowder.
Okay.
And he says that when he goes to the bathroom and stands at the urinal, he will make conversation with the guy next to him. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, that is like the most... I clam up like crazy when I'm at the urinal. Do you? Do you have a conversation? Would you ever have a conversation?
I wouldn't instigate it, but I wouldn't. If somebody says something to me, I would respond.
He says, I talk to guys in the bathroom. I do it all the time. Yeah, I don't talk. I don't talk. Like, even if somebody, we have a stall at work. We've got one of those separators, right? And even if it's somebody I know that is at the next urinal, I don't talk to them. I just feel like that's private time. I don't want to have a conversation at that point.
This lends itself to that joke. You know, the joke that about the guy standing at the urinal next to the other guy.
Yeah, we can't tell that joke.
Why not?
I wouldn't tell that joke.
You were afraid we'd get in trouble?
I think it's a bit anti-Semitic.
Let's not do that then.
Yeah.
No. It's the joke about the Jamaican guy.
Let's just not do it. I mean, yeah. Let's just not do that.
I'm very uneasy by this. I just
remember
think
when in doubt,
win it out. Okay. Coming up next for you, John. I have made 3 parlay bets tonight. My mythical money is down. We'll do a mythical money check-in. And Sean McVay, by the way, rescheduled for tomorrow, so we'll have him. But I want to play this Tom Brady sound for him again tomorrow. Tom Brady said something interesting about the NFL today in his press availability, and I want to get your take on it. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Visit Toyota.com. They make it easy. Check them out at MirrorAudioVideo.com.
John Ireland promoting and Rex Ryan yodeling, and it's that kind of day. That kind of day. By the way, I thought you were going to tell a different urinal joke, so that's why I jumped in.
I know.
There are multiple urinal jokes. You in a bad mood today?
Me? No, I'm in a great mood.
Are you? Okay, good. I just want to make sure. All right, so Tom Brady today did his press availability down in Tampa. And he said something that I think I agree with. I want to get your take on it. Here's what Brady said.
Do you think, Tom, in all your years, there's even more parity now? There's a lot of teams that are 2-2.
I think there's a lot of bad football from what I watch. You know, I watch a lot of bad football, a lot of, poor quality of football. That's what I see.
Poor quality of football. Is that what we're looking at?
I don't know. I just think it's hard.
15-2-2 teams
in the NFL.
Yeah,
it's hard to win. I mean, I'm in a confidence pool every week with a bunch of friends of mine where you got to assign value, and it's hard. Everybody's getting killed because it's like anybody can beat anybody. I mean, the Chiefs lost to the Colts. The Falcons almost beat the Rams.
Right.
That's why. I mean, I'll say this. Bergman and I went out week one in Survivor. I think you went out week two or three.
Yes, I did.
I've never seen a Survivor pool crumble as quickly as Survivor pools have crumbled this year. The one that ours started with 200 people, I think they're down to five or six. I just think it's harder to win in the league now.
Well, you know, the league is rigged to...
How so?
Well, the league is rigged to create parity, right? Because if you're terrible, you get the first pick. If you're great, you get the last pick. If you're first, you get the toughest schedule. If you're worst, you get the easiest schedule. It's all designed to try to make everybody go 8-9 or 9-8, right? Now, not everybody will, but the league is rigged for parity.
Right, but, well, I don't know if rigged would be the right word.
Well, I don't know if rigged, but it's created for parity.
Like, the Rams won the Super Bowl last year, so this year they have the toughest schedule. That seems fair to me.
Yeah, and if you're awful last year, you get the first draft pick this year. Again, you know, it's the idea is how do we equalize all the teams? How do we create exactly what Pete Rozelle always thrived on, which was parity? That was Pete Rozelle's idea in the first place. We want everybody to have a chance every year. And truthfully, there is a sort of recycling that goes on where team, you know, this year, I mean, Buffalo's obviously really good, but maybe Miami cycles back into the playoffs. The idea is to get different teams in the playoffs all the time. And the league has been really successful with that.
I think that it still, at the end of the year, by the end of the year, we'll know. They're like, it looks like this year, Buffalo, Kansas City, Philadelphia are better than everybody else. So eventually the cream rises to the top. You know, I don't know if you saw this. I sent this to you. One of the most amazing stats I think I've ever heard about Tom Brady came out this week from Jeff Darlington. Brady is attempting on Sunday to avoid his first three-game losing streak in 20 years.
Wow.
He's never lost more than two games in a row. Only one time in his career, all the way back in 2002.
That's crazy.
And I think they're going to win. They play Atlanta. So I think he's going to avoid it. But that, I mean, think about all the years he's playing football and everything he's been through. He's never had a three-game losing streak, not since 2002.
That's just astounding. Amazing. That's astounding. All right, so speaking of Tom, this turns into the Tom Brady segment. There are odds out from Bovada on who will Gisele Bündchen's next boyfriend be.
Greg Bergman.
For the record, Bradley Cooper is plus 800. Pete Davidson plus 1,000. I'm sure he'll find a way in there. Brad Pitt plus 1,200. Leonardo DiCaprio plus 1,600. And for some reason, the Iron Sheik plus 10,000. Now, is this funny or is it mean?
It's not funny. I don't know if I would say as far as mean. I mean, it's they're both in the public eye. And
right.
It certainly appears now that they're heading for divorce. They both apparently have hired divorce lawyers. And now, but you know what's weird about this particular story? Because they're such big names in their respective industries. Like yesterday, Jorge, you sent me that quote that quoted Gisele talking about Brady. And I read it, and I couldn't believe it. And I texted you guys back, is this real? And we came to the conclusion it's not, but didn't it look real?
It did.
Like somebody had like created what Gisele might say when she comments on this. I mean, it's just extraordinarily a hot spotlight that they live in. So even if they do get divorced, people are going to speculate what's next for both of them.
So do you think this is just part of the territory of being a big famous person?
I do. I think that, you know, if you're married to someone that's as famous as you are, or even in some cases more famous, you're going to get a lot of attention, and you get, you know, the good's going to come with the bad.
See, I feel bad. Tom Brady's got the world on a string, right? As my dad would say, get the, but I do feel bad for him because every time I see him now, I'm thinking, wow, he's playing and he's going through what is potentially a divorce. And anybody who has been through that is like, I mean, think about that for a minute. You're showing up on Sundays in front of, you know, 60,000 people trying to win football games while your marriage is reportedly crumbling. I mean, it's got to be really, really difficult on him. And having it in the public eye has got to make it much more difficult.
Yeah, and it's no, I mean, anybody's ever been through a divorce, you know it's no fun. But, that, you know, half the country gets them. The divorce rate in this country is 50%.
I know.
So there's a decent chance that if you get married, you know, a coin flip. Like on this show, I'm married. Bergman was married. You know, there it is. 50% of us between Greg
divorced.
And I got divorced.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing it up. Really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh, you were happy. You were happy when you got divorced.
I was extremely happy.
Well, there's an old Still joke happy. about divorce is, you know why it costs so much? It's worth it.
It's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
So I worked with a news person when I was working in television, and he constantly complained about paying not one but two ex-wives. He had two ex-wives to pay. And
right.
I'm like, damn, that must be. Divorce is so expensive.
I remember when we were doing the TV show on Fox Sports West 2?
Yep.
I remember one of us walked in and we were talking about how we were having a bad day. It was probably you.
Yeah, probably me.
Yeah.
I'm usually the one that's having a bad day.
And you said, God, I'm having a bad day. And Chip Terrell, our old director.
Man, I love that guy.
Yeah, great guy. Chip walks in, he goes, I was laughing so hard after he said this. He goes, you guys think you're having a bad day. Last night I was over at my buddy's house and watched him write the check for his ex-wife's breast enhancement.
Wow. Wow.
That's a bad break.
That is really rough. That is really rough.
That's a tough check to write.
So, how do you say his last name? Wembanyama?
Yeah.
Wembanyama? Victor Wembanyama?
He's playing right now. He's playing right now in Vegas.
So, apparently, I didn't see... John, you tell me. Have you seen him?
Just on TV.
Okay. So, apparently so good that people are saying just shut it down and get ready to be the first pick in next year's draft. His agent says he's going to keep playing. What would you do?
I'd keep playing. I think he can get continue to. Yeah, I mean, he could get hurt just screwing around in his driveway. So, I mean, I think he's got to continue to work on his game. But there were over 200 scouts here watching him the other day.
Wow.
And, Mace, they say this guy is so good. They say he looks like Kevin Durant from outside, and he's 7'4". So he's got the body and the build of, like, Ralph Sampson or Kristaps Porzingis and the skills of Kevin Durant.
Wow.
The consensus is he is the most exciting player to go into the draft since LeBron. And there are some NBA people speculating that it is going to create a giant race to the bottom.
Oh.
Like the NBA has never seen. So, for example, let's say you're a middle-of-the-pack team.
Okay.
You know you're not going to win the title.
Right.
Okay? Maybe you trade your best players now, get them off your books in the hope that you get the most ping-pong balls to get Wembanyama, and he comes to you. Like, Indiana, for example.
Okay.
They're hanging on to Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, and they've said they won't trade him to the Lakers unless the Lakers put in both picks.
Yep.
Maybe they think about that now. Maybe they want to lose. What about Oklahoma City? They already have Chet Holmgren, who's out for the
year.
Don't
you think they're in constant tank mode?
Right.
They were in tank mode last year. I would imagine they'll just stay in tank mode, right?
Yeah. And
but, I mean, there's no guarantee anymore. It's not like lose the most games and you get it. It's like how many teams get ping pong balls? Like there's an even number of ping pong balls
14 teams.
But an even number for the bottom three or the bottom five or
the
whatever that is.
The worst record you have, I think the bottom three teams get the same amount of ping pong balls.
Right. So you can finish in last place and you got a 1 in 3 chance of getting a transformational player. Is that worth a gamble?
Maybe. If you have no chance to win it. Like, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, Utah this year is
right,
they traded away all their teams. They're tanking. So now maybe they trade any good players they have left. Maybe right. they trade Jordan Clarkson. Indiana, probably not going to win the title. Orlando, not going to win the title. Charlotte, not going to win the title. Do you unload your big salaries, get them off your books, and just say, okay, we'll play our young guys, we'll develop them, and maybe we get lucky? Like the Washington Wizards, the Knicks. What, you know, maybe the Knicks tank.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if he, because he's so good, that teams basically sink to the bottom to try and get him.
Yeah, yeah. No guarantee, but for a transformational player, for a franchise changer, for a league direction changer, I mean, if he's as good as you say, I guess I'd want to be one of the bottom three and have the most ping pong balls.
I had one GM tell me the other night, last night at the game, best prospect he's ever seen.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow. Can't wait to see him. Can you see him anywhere?
Yeah, well, I mean, I you'll see highlights. He played again today.
Okay.
But he's really, really different. 7'4" with the skills of a guard.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Never before. All right, coming up next for you, John, the worst job I have heard about in a very long time. Terrible job. I'll explain it next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Are we playing Janice's favorite song?
Yep, exactly.
Janice Garcia, John.
Oh, final it's her day. Last day today?
And today's her last day.
Oh, we're going to miss her.
Yep. Yeah. Let's roll the highlight reel.
What highlight reel? Just playing.
We tried. We tried to put one together.
Hey, what was the story you're going to tell about the note on the car?
Okay, so the note on the car. Here we go. This is, you think when you see somebody putting a note on a car, that they're being honest, right? Hit a car. And of course, you leave a note. Nobody's there. You leave a note and you say, you know, sorry. This is a story about somebody who got a note on their car that said, sorry, I hit your car. I don't have any money to pay for it. So that was the note left on the car, which is interesting because everybody around there would think that person's doing the right thing. In fact, they're doing exactly the wrong thing and telling them, I'm not going to fix your car.
It was the old bait and switch. So if you and I were like across the street having lunch and we saw him hit the car and then we saw him leave the note, we would think, oh, good.
Oh, that guy did the right thing. Exactly. This guy did not.
There's a Seinfeld episode where Jerry watches somebody do that, hit a car and not leave a note.
Right.
And so he's trying to determine whether or not he should go over and say something.
Right.
And he decides to do it, and it turns out that it's a really attractive woman. And he goes, hey, I saw what you did, and you should really leave a note on the car. And she goes, really? Is that what you think? And he starts flirting with her, and they end up dating. And he's trying the whole time they're dating to bring it up. But and finally, of course, he does.
Right,
and it ruins
right.
the relationship and everything else. But I don't know. Could you date somebody that hit a car? Could you date a hit-and-run person?
No. You gotta, you know, the one thing you gotta be able to do in life, at least for me, is to be able to look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and say, yeah, I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a nice guy. Try to do the right thing, right? I mean, I if I do the wrong thing, and I'm sure there are instances, I'm sure, where I've done the wrong thing, I feel bad about it, and it sticks with me. So I always try to be nice, be kind is a good rule to follow, and try to do the right thing. Because otherwise, I get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and I'm like, God, why did I do that? Why did I do that?
I have a super guilty conscience.
Yeah.
That's how I can go to a strip club and end up spending more money than the $300 I actually walked in with.
Exactly.
But
so I probably shouldn't say this because Jacob and Ronnie sitting in here, but I've absolutely done it multiple times.
You've done what?
Hit a car and ran.
Hit somebody and then just left.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't pay for it?
Because I couldn't pay for it and there was no way. It would cost way too much money.
Then you have to go through all
they would have gone to Jacob.
And all that.
He would have sued me. It would have been a massive problem.
So you are a hit and run guy?
I've done it once or twice.
Hit and run Bergman.
Or more.
Yeah. Hit and run Bergman. Wow, that's a stunning admission.
Well, I admire your honesty there.
Oh, the statute. Oh, Jacob says the statute of limitations are gone. It's been too many years ago. So I'm okay.
Before we get Jacob,
the problem was it happened yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Before we get Jacob in here, I want to do one thing. John, I mentioned this job that I think these are the requirements for what I think might be the worst job in history. Now, apparently this is legit. Somebody named Tammy is looking for a babysitter. So she says, babysitter needed ASAP. I need someone to watch my four kids ages 2, 3, 5, and 7 from noon to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and occasionally weekends. So that's a handful, right? 2, 3, 5, and 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Here are the requirements. Must be a great cook and avid cleaner. Over 25 years old.
Okay.
Minimum education, master's degree.
Wow.
No social media accounts. I don't need my kids seeing that. No drinking, no smoking, no vaping. No tattoos, no piercings. Need 5 professional references. Background check and drug test will be conducted.
Wow.
The job pays $200 a week. Must have own transportation to get to and from while also running errands. Please call Tammy if interested.
Good luck, Tammy.
Good luck, Tammy. Find an applicant for that job. My God. All right, coming up next for you, going to do some Game of Games. Jacob Imrani is here as he comes in every week. It is Bergman's game today. Bergman, you got a little sneak preview?
Nope. You can find out when we get there. But it is multiple choice.
Okay, good. We'll do a multiple choice Game of Games coming up next for you with Jacob. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, it is Game of Games time, and we welcome to the show the great Jacob Imrani. How are you, Jacob?
I'm doing fantastic. Love sitting right across from you. I'm taking John's spot.
Yeah.
I like it.
In Ireland's spot, exactly. So, Bergman, you got the game today. What do you got going?
So it's called All Rise for the Judge in honor of Aaron Judge hitting 62 Woo-hoo! Home runs this year.
Okay.
That's also for Janice, who's leaving tomorrow. I'm going to give you a year.
A huge Yankees fan, yeah.
I'm going to give you a year, and you have to tell me who hit the most home runs that year. It's multiple choice, so you just have to decide there. Mm. So, number one, John, can you take notes for me? Okay.
So it's Jorge, Mace, Jacob, and me, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So this first year is 2014. Is that A, Jose Bautista, B, Nelson Cruz, C, Giancarlo Stanton, or D, Nolan Arenado?
Oh,
John.
What were the first two?
Jose Bautista, Nelson Cruz, Giancarlo Stanton, Nolan Arenado.
I'll go Nolan Cruz. Or Nelson.
Those are two different people. Nolan Arenado, yeah.
Nelson Cruz.
Cruz. Okay. Mason.
Jose Bautista.
Jacob. And Jorge.
Stanton.
It is Nelson Cruz. John got that
John,
one.
Boom. Nice.
Nolan Cruz.
Nolan Cruz carries the day.
Thanks, Julio.
All right, number two is in 2016. Is that A, Chris Davis with a C from Baltimore, B, Chris Davis with a K from Oakland, Chris Carter, or Mark Trumbo? That's Mason.
Chris Davis with a C, Baltimore.
Jacob. Jorge?
Go with the K.
And John?
I'll go with the other Chris. Who is the other Chris?
Chris Carter.
Yeah, I'll take him.
The answer, Mark Trumbo. Mark Trumbo.
Oh, really?
Is the
Mark
did anybody
Trumbo.
Get it?
Nobody got that one. Everybody went with the Chris's.
Mark Trumbo once led the majors in home runs.
He did in 2016.
No, not
nope,
a lot.
Because nobody knows who he is.
Fairly forgettable. He's former Angel.
Yeah. We're going to go all the way back to 1973 for this one.
Oh,
Mace.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry. Jacob, you're going to start with this one. 1973. Is that A, Willie Stargell, B, Reggie Jackson, C, Mike Schmidt, or D, Johnny Bench?
Boy, all possible there.
1973. Right.
Hmm.
Me too.
Willie Stargell, Reggie Jackson, Mike Schmidt, or Johnny Bench?
I will go with Johnny Bench.
Jorge.
I like the sound of Schmidt. Go with that guy.
John.
Pops. Stargell.
And Mason.
I also like the sound of Schmidt.
The answer is Stargell.
Oh,
boom.
Nice
taking
job,
control.
John. Okay.
Well, control is 2-0. Yeah, then I'm in control.
Yep, Jorge, you're right. 1989, we're going to start with you, Jorge. 1989, is that Fred McGriff, Jesse Barfield, Kevin Mitchell, or Andre Dawson?
Kevin Mitchell.
That goes to Ireland.
Andre Dawson.
Mason.
Andre Dawson.
And Jacob. The answer is Kevin Mitchell.
Yeah.
Jorge's on the board.
Yeah.
Nice
swag,
job.
Baby.
Hip, hip, Jorge. We're going to go all the way back here. There's only seven in a tiebreaker.
Okay.
We're going to go all the way back to 1907.
1907.
So if you don't know 1907.
Somebody get Michael Thompson.
He was there for that.
It's
back to you, John. John, 1907. Is that A, Tim Jordan, D, Dave Brain, C, Sam Crawford, or D, Harry Davis?
I've never heard of any of those.
Yeah.
What was the first one?
Tim Jordan.
Well, that just sounds made up. Give me the other ones.
Dave Brain, Sam Crawford, Harry Davis.
They all sound made up. I'll go Sam Crawford.
Mason.
You know, I know I'm behind, but I'm going to go Sam Crawford, too.
Jacob.
I'm way behind, so I'm going to go with D, whatever that was.
Harry Davis. All right, and Jorge.
And I'm going with B, whatever B was.
B is Dave Brain. Dave Brain is the right answer.
Jorge,
tied.
Jorge, you've tied it up.
Jorge's got it tied.
Swag, baby.
Swag.
Look at that.
System.
Swag system. All right, number six, and we start with Mason here. 1953 is the year. Eddie Davis, Ted Klazuski, Larry Doby, or Al Rosen?
I'm going to go Ted Klazuski.
Jacob.
I'm going to go with Rosen.
John.
Give me the names again, Greg.
Eddie Matthews, Ted Klazuski, Larry Doby, Al Rosen.
I'll go Al Rosen.
And Jorge.
Eddie Matthews.
Eddie Matthews is the right answer. Yeah!
Eddie
takes the lead.
Jorge takes the lead.
System, baby.
Wow. Jeez, Jorge.
Yeah, man.
Nice, number Jorge. Seven. This is the last one. So, John, you need to get this one to tie Jorge.
So it's down to just me and Jorge,
yeah,
right? Because
yeah,
Jacob and Mason never got one right.
No, Mace didn't either, if that makes you feel any better. It's
all
multiple
right,
choice.
It's down to me and Brianna.
Yeah. All right, number
he
seven.
He has to go first.
This is the year 2007. 2007 with a little bit more, you know, newer year. A, Ryan Howard. B, Miguel Cabrera. C, Prince Fielder. Or D, Alex Rodriguez. Jorge?
Prince Fielder.
And John?
I'll go A-Rod.
A-Rod is the right answer. We have a tie. We have a tie.
Oh, let's go! Let's go, Briones.
It comes down to this, and we're going to go back deep. You guys are just going to guess.
Okay.
1883, one of the first years Major League Baseball was even in existence.
Yep.
Is
no
it A, Harry Stovey, B, Buck Ewing, C, George Wood, or D, Oscar Walker? And we'll go John first.
Okay. So it's four guys I've never heard of.
Yeah. That's kind of the point.
Come on, three, two.
No, I'll just give me B.
B is Buck Ewing.
I don't even know.
Yeah, old Buck Ewing.
Right. And Jorge.
Guess somebody different than that, Jorge. I swear to God, I'm guessing.
I'll go with C.
C is George Wood. Nobody got that one right. It was Harry Stovey. Oh, okay. I can just get another year, and we can just kind of... How about one of the newer ones?
Or you could have actually written a tiebreaker. Yeah,
that was my tiebreaker.
Well, the tiebreaker has got to be something that settles
tiebreaker
it.
Yeah. Tie.
Okay. So last year... Okay, how about this? Last year, Fernando Tatis led the National Leagues in home runs. How many did he have closest without going over?
Okay.
Between you and John. John, you go first.
And this was in 2021?
2021, how many home runs did Fernando Tatis Jr. hit to lead the National League?
God, I have no idea. I'll say 41.
And Jorge, so you go one higher or one?
I'll go 42.
The correct answer is 42 on the dot. Fernando Tatis Jr. Jorge gets the win.
Jorge for the win.
Nice Jorge.
Nice job, Jorge.
All right.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Very nice, Jorge.
So Jacob, while you're here, first of all, have you got a chance to watch the first couple of Lakers preseason games? I know you have.
I actually definitely have.
Did you have any takeaway at all?
Well, I mean, I liked the first half of the first game.
I liked the first half of last night's game, too. Yeah.
So ultimately right now it's if our big three or two and a half, Our big two and a half come out and play. But listen, you know, I mean, they're loving what Russ is doing. He's not overdoing anything.
Nope.
He had a 4-point play last night. You know, he had another three. So, I mean, you know, I'm glad. The one thing I got to tell you, Mace, I'm glad the fact that they're actually having the vets play in preseason. It's something they weren't doing before. And I think it's really important for them to play and obviously not overplay, but play with each other so that the season is not the first game.
John, do you want to give them the bad news about tonight?
No one's playing.
Literally. Nobody's playing tonight.
Well, no LeBron, no AD, no Westbrook, probably no Pat Bev. Get ready for the Cole Swider show.
Nice.
That's going to be great.
Shoot
That's
away,
gonna be great,
kid.
Jacob, come on. Matt Ryan?
Yes.
Yeah, I always think of the football quarterback.
Yeah, Matty Ice. So you're doing something with the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Walk. First of all, an unbelievably good cause. The Susan G. Komen Foundation is an unbelievable
Lisa Ireland has done that walk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Jacob,
right after
you...
she got diagnosed, she did it.
Yeah. What are you doing,
well,
Jacob?
This is our third year that we, you know, in October, we turn everything we have, all our commercials, everything we do, we turn it pink.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We right now have about 500 people who have registered. Wow. Amazing. It's grown so much since the first 2 years.
Yep.
And it's really, you know, all of us have had either a mother, a grandmother, a sister, a daughter. Everyone's had somebody in their life that has been stricken with the bad news of breast cancer.
Yeah.
The reason that we have so many people that are still with us and have survived is because of the fact that we're all putting in our time to give back, raise money, and to, you know, get a cure.
And a noble cause, John. You've dealt with it personally.
Jacob, I can't tell you how great this is that you're doing this. And this is a weird thing I'm going to say, but when my wife got diagnosed with it, they told her this, and it actually made her feel better. Because of fundraising like this and the Susan G. Komen Foundation, there's never really been in human history a better time to get breast cancer. Mm. I know that's a weird thing to say, but if you get it, you know, 40 years ago, it could have been a death sentence. Now it's very treatable because they are coming up with different ways and different drugs and different tactics to fight it. And the only way they're going to continue to get better is if people keep giving money for research and awareness. So this is a great thing that you're doing. You're literally going to save lives just by participating in this one thing for 1 month. So thank you, first of all, for doing it, and good for you.
Sure.
And basically, her mom's going to be having surgery in 2 weeks. And the first thing I told her is exactly what John just said. Years ago, when you would find out that you know, your family member has breast cancer,
yep,
it's a death sentence.
Sure.
But now I told her, keep your head up, get in there, get the surgery, do whatever the doctor's saying. God willing, we'll be talking for years and finding out how your mom's doing.
Nice.
Yeah, and like little, just you telling that story, Jacob, there is a decent chance, me not knowing any other facts than that, that her mom's going to die from something else, not breast cancer. And that's the goal.
Yeah.
You want to have them live with this, and you know she's going to have a bad year and she's going to have to go through some stuff. But the goal is now that let's get her through it and have her live a longer life, and hopefully, and this is happening more and more, that she'll die from a completely different cause than this years and years from now.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. That's great. Nice.
I want to remind everybody, Game of Games is powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you go to calljacob.com or you call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. And if somebody wants to participate, how do they do it? Saturday morning,
yes, this Saturday. And, you know, we'll get you your gear. We got T-shirts. We got a lot of giveaways. So
cool.
Of our team. And we just walk together and we show all the survivors who are going to be there that this team just keeps getting bigger and bigger in order to support this, you know, this cause.
Awesome. Well, it's great seeing you. Thank you very much. That's noble, a very noble cause, and we appreciate you doing it. Great to see you. All right. Hey, I am – I did that. Coming up next for you, I'm leaving to go get my acupuncture on my lower back. That means John, you,
and they'll
George
love this,
and Cappy want to mix it up a little. I got to get to my car and hear how it's all going to turn out. I'll be back tomorrow at 1. Coming up next for you is Super Crosstalk. Hit the stager.
All right, it's time for Super Crosstalk, and I actually need the help of George Sedano and Scott Kaplan today. How we doing, boys?
I'm good. All I want to know is this. All right, so I texted you yesterday and Michael responded. You did not. But
yeah.
When was the last time I noticed you guys were on the floor calling the game, which
right.
is a rarity on radio? Like, when was the
Very
last
much
time
so.
you've been on the floor to call a game?
Okay, so believe it or not, when I started in 2011, we were on the floor in 16 of 30 cities. 16 low,
right.
14 up high. It is now 28-2. There's only two places where we're still on
Ooh,
the floor.
Who are the two?
One is Detroit. We're at the new.
Well, nobody's
arena
going to those games, so that makes sense.
Yeah, so they can put it up. And we may get kicked back upstairs, but this is kind of a cool deal that's been going on for years. Al McCoy, the voice of the Suns.
Oh, the Suns.
There's a rule that, but all last year, George, we did two games from up high. So we may have lost that one. Boston, we're in a weird spot. We're low, but we're in a corner. So it's not
sucks.
Really on the floor. It's a really bad spot. But Detroit is the lone holdover. The one thing that happens with us sometimes is because the Lakers get a lot of national TV games and Billy Mack and Stu get kicked out. We
right,
get to take their
the
spot.
TNT or ESPN, right, or ABC will get their
yeah.
spot. Right.
Unless yeah. Unless you guys come in. Like, unless ESPN Radio comes in and you guys right. are doing the game, then you guys will take priority. But
so,
I would say that this year we'll probably do – I'll just use last year as an example. We were probably low 5 times all year.
Okay.
That was it.
Now, I did notice also that one Alan Sliwa was to your right and also there
right.
at the scorer's table. Look at
yeah,
that.
Because he's doing pre and post, and so they gave him a seat right there, and Trudell's next to him. So it's
wow.
fun. We get to everybody sit there. All right, so I need your guys' we got to do a wrap-up of the mistakes that Sliwa and I made last night. I don't know
okay,
if
so what
this.
Happened? I don't know any of the stories.
Okay,
so
good.
What happened?
Now,
is this the story that everybody was buzzing about today on
yeah,
social
yeah.
media?
All right,
that
so here's the
back. Hear?
Here's
okay,
the background on it.
All right.
There is a strip club in Las Vegas called the Peppermint Hippo.
Okay.
Okay. It's a spoof. It was created by the guys at South Park, came up with that name to make fun of the Spearmint Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
So on South Park, there was a place called the Peppermint Hippo that was an adult club.
Yeah.
And so these guys took the name, ran with it, and now it's an actual strip club in Vegas. It's voted the number one strip club in Las Vegas.
Okay.
So Mason and Travis said, they thought it'd be funny. They said, there's no way Ireland and Sliwa would ever set foot in a strip club. Especially not one called the Peppermint Hippo. And they basically dared us to do it to the point where Mason said, Ireland, if you go in there, I'll give you $100. And Travis goes, I'll throw another $100 on if Slee goes with him.
Oh,
and then when
awesome.
They knew we weren't going to go, they said, Mason said, I'm putting another $100 in. So $300 now, if you guys
right.
show up at the Peppermint Hippo.
Yeah, that's
so
weird.
It's a good dare. I normally respond pretty well. So after the game last night, Sliwa and I go to the Peppermint Hippo.
Okay.
And I'll send you guys some pictures.
pictures from inside the hippo?
No, well, that's part of the story. So yeah. What happened was we get there and they basically I tell them what's going on. I say, okay, listen, we're a couple of radio guys, and they dared us to come in here, and we know we're not supposed to take pictures in a strip club, but would you let us snap a few? And the guy goes, oh, that's great. We'll whatever you guys need. And so all of a sudden, the guy is like, could not be nicer. The guy that runs it is a guy named Sabo, S-A-B-O. Okay. It's his birthday today. Shout out to Sabo.
Happy birthday, Sabo.
Nice.
Yeah, so we walk in, and Sabo says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to comp the cover, which is $50.
Right.
And
now you got $300 to spend on girls.
Right. And here's,
I mean,
here's
isn't
your
that what everybody's thinking?
Yeah. The first drink is, oh, stay with me here. The first drink is on the house. And
okay.
They couldn't have been nicer. Okay. So they let us go in.
Right.
And
where is the Peppermint Hippo located on in Las Vegas?
It's at the end of the strip.
Okay. Which
I tried to send you guys down towards the Sahara.
Oh,
like,
okay.
The stratosphere?
Okay.
Like all the way down?
Yeah, heading that way.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So
we're detailed people here, George.
Well, I gotta know. You know what I mean?
Me too. Well, you're gonna find out that we made some terrible mistakes that I think the two of you would have avoided. Now,
okay.
First of all, Sedano, when's the last time you actually were in a strip club, like set foot in one?
Probably like a decade ago. And it was in Vegas. It was probably the Spearman Rhino, if I recall correctly. It was my bachelor party, so.
Okay. So, Cap, how about you?
Probably about 2017 in Orange County somewhere.
Okay. For me.
You don't even want to give the name, the establishment, a shout out here?
I wish I could remember the name of it, but I was at a bachelor party and we were in Orange County, and I don't think it was bottomless, so I don't like the non-bottomless.
Okay, so for me, I'm not making. I mean, I guess this is embarrassing. I really don't care. It was 1984. I haven't set foot in one since college. I'm just not a strip club guy.
No, I get it.
Never
that.
Have been.
Yeah, I get it.
So, so these guys they could not have been nicer. We go to the okay. So now I'm sending you guys all the pictures. And you can kind of see it. And so they say, come in. There's a giant hippo, like silver hippo inside. He says, let me get you a couple of girls. We take pictures with the girls. We take a picture with Sabo. And they said, let me give you a tour of the place. So they're giving Sleem and I a tour through the back rooms, the private rooms.
This is unbelievable hospitality, by the way, that you're receiving.
It was great.
You must have been so sweet and so nice to them. That's so great.
Well, but it gets worse. So we go in and after they've shown us around, they said, hey, let me just get you a table right in front of the main stage. Are you guys going to stay for a drink? And my plan was the whole time, go there. I even thought, George, about holding the cab, taking five quick pictures, back in the cab, and coming back to the MGM just to collect the $300.
Yeah.
But these guys were so nice.
Yeah.
And they were saying, okay, come have a seat. So they give us two seats. Within 5 seconds, a girl snuggles right up to Sliwa, and one is in my lap.
Nice.
Okay?
Nice.
Sitting in my lap.
These girls that were looking at the pictures?
Yeah. Or they were part of it.
Nice.
So then the waitress comes over, what can I get you guys? And Sliwa and I each had a free drink ticket, so we ordered a couple of tequilas, and the girls say, hey, would you mind buying us a drink? And we go, well,
that's
you guys have been so nice, sure.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, so we buy, and there's three girls, so we buy three drinks for the girls, and I paid for the cab, so Sliwa paid for the first round of drinks, which was only three drinks.
Right.
Yeah, but that's $25 a drink at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, now you know where I'm going. So we start talking to him. We're hitting him up, and I say, Slee, 20 minutes into this, I go, Slee, we got to go. And Slee goes, and the girls all at the same time go, no, you can't leave yet. You guys, we're having such a good time.
Yeah.
Just buy us one more round. Slee goes, John, it's on me. One more round.
Oh,
they've been so great to us here. So we buy another round. The bill for that round comes, and now keep in mind we didn't have the freebies.
What kind of tequila?
So now we're doing that we just drank it well tequila. I asked if they had Casa Azul, and they said I would have to pay more, so I didn't.
Right, I'm still guessing a minimum of $25 a drink. $25 minimum.
Yeah, I'm looking at you're definitely about $100-$150 in for sure at this point.
Okay, so the bill comes. It's Slee was paying for the drinks. It's $260 for the bill.
Nice. $260 for six drinks?
For the two rounds of drinks.
But you guys got a second round, too, right? So it's five
right.
plus
so
three.
The second round
so
drinking.
Eight drinks.
So, yeah, so now we're at our profit margin is gone. If you,
right.
if you throw in what I paid for the cab.
On this bill or no?
Oh, stay with me.
Oh, my God.
God, me and you just picking apart question after question.
Yeah, no, these are all great questions. So then, after the second round of drinks, the girl says to me, the girl who's been, and she's got her hand on my leg the whole time, and, sure. and she goes, do you guys really have to go? And I go, yeah, we got to get out of here. We're meeting some people, which was a lie. Right. And she says, she looks right at me and she goes, you got to give me 15 minutes and let me take you in the back. I'll blow your mind.
Oh,
and I go, listen,
when you said your mind, I didn't know what you were going to say. Oh my God.
Yeah. And I said, it is incredibly nice of you and I'm very flattered, but I'm not that guy. I'm not a lap dance guy.
I mean,
notice
by your shirt and you're tucked in, the way it was tucked in? She didn't notice
you
weren't that kind
right,
of guy.
Cap?
No,
right.
actually, yeah, she looked at you and said, you're prime meat right there, buddy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I know you've got to make money, and so you should go work some other parts of the room because I'm just not that guy. And she pulls out a lollipop and starts working that and goes, are you sure?
Oh, my God.
I'm 100% sure. Thank you. And she goes, well, listen, can you tip me for my time?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
we've been over here for like half an hour. Can you tip me for my time?
Oh,
and I
boy.
Said, sure.
Did you ask how
I
much?
I felt bad. I didn't. But I look at my wallet, and I don't have enough cash to really tip three girls. So
now you got to go to the ATM.
The guy, right. George,
oh
guess
my
what
God!
The
and they're
going
to charge
ATM.
You at least $10 to pull out that money, at the very least.
20% of whatever right. you pull out of the
what?
ATM.
What?
All right, so you're going to take out $200 at least, and you're going to now it's $240. Keep going.
Yep, that's exactly what I took out. I took out $200, and I came back and I tipped each girl $100. So now Slee and I are basically at $600, and we finally got out of there. But where did I go wrong there? In other words, I went from being 300 up
mm-hmm.
to being 300 down
well,
in 35
the
minutes.
The girls.
How could I have better handled that?
As soon as the girls started to come your way, before they even sat down with you, like, hey, ladies, we're just having a quick drink. We're going to roll. We're actually doing this for like a funny like gag. We're not really sticking around, but thanks. We appreciate it. Go and tell them to work the room right out of the gate because the drinks is what nailed you and then eventually that led to the tip.
Oh, yeah.
If you do that right out of the gate, that you're literally just in and out because you're doing like a funny thing for social media for a gag, then they won't bother you and they know not to mess with you and you're gone.
But the thing
point.
Is
I was
is that
such
you,
a novice. And
right,
again,
yeah.
I haven't been in there in years and years. Travis goes, they took you to the hoop the minute you
no
walked
doubt.
In.
Well, yeah, John, said, I mean, yeah. they look at you and they, because I'm looking at your pictures now. Based on the checkered shirt you're wearing, based on the
I
fact
went right
that it's
from the game to
right,
the to
right.
the strip club,
the way your shirt is tucked in, based on the pants that you're wearing, et cetera,
yeah,
you are a target. Okay,
yeah. No question.
And and don't take this wrong, but this is what these girls are thinking. They're like, look at this stiff. Oh, this guy right here, he got money.
100%.
Right.
This
yeah,
guy
he's
got money
for sure. He's got money. Look at the way he's dressed.
Right.
Look at his hair.
Right.
It's great hair.
Yes. This guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's probably
bringing this other guy along with him just for, you know, they probably work together or something.
And here's
know,
the thing.
Right.
So, so look, the drinks are one thing. And again, I was saying minimum $25 a drink. I think the math says that it was more
$40. No, it was higher than that.
Yeah,
like
it was like $42, I think, a drink. Then after the drinks, there's a guilt trip that goes into all of this.
Yeah.
You know, the guilt trip is look, I know, you know, we kind of danced a little bit, whatever, but you know, we are sitting here, and so by sitting here with you, we're not out there with those guys, so we're losing money if you don't tip us.
Yeah.
So now you got to tip them, and not only do you have to tip them, you got to tip them decently so that – because you've already introduced yourself. Hi, I'm John Ireland,
right.
ESPN LA,
right.
I'm the Lakers broadcaster, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I didn't tell them any of that, but they knew.
Okay.
They knew. And by the way, based on how this went, mm-hmm. So we finally get up and get out. We were only there for like 35, 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's way
we
too
walk,
long.
Okay, we walk out, and we say to the guy, that we say to Saba, who is super nice to us, we go, hey, Saba, how hard is it to get a cab? And he looks at me, he goes, cab? He goes, wait here 5 minutes.
Yeah, let me get the limo.
Limo pulls up.
No,
he goes,
no.
Take these guys wherever they want to go. And John, you and Alan are welcome to come back tomorrow, and he'll come pick you up for free. You just call me, and he'll come pick you up for free. And you guys can come back in, which we will not be doing.
No. But wait a second. Wait, hold on. I have a question. Do you have Sabo's number?
Oh, yeah. You want
it? Yeah, I need
you.
Yeah, I'm going to need that.
Cap will need it. So Mason just texted us and said she had the lollipop. Ireland and Sliwa were the suckers.
Very much so. Very much so. By the way, George, I don't think I've ever been as big of a sucker as I was last night in my life. Sliwa and I were feeling so cocky that we got one over on Mason and Travis.
Yeah.
And it completely...
Right, it cost
it completely
you,
flipped on us.
It cost you, right. It ended up costing you $300.
And wait, it's worse. Because you see, being up 300 and then all of a sudden being down 300,
right.
It's different if you would have been like, you know what, it was $300, it was kind of a lot of money, but I had a great time. But I'm guessing you had a really crappy time.
Right, you were uncomfortable the whole time, ready to get out of there.
No, I wasn't uncomfortable. They were very nice. The people that ran, the girls were nice, and I actually felt sorry for the girls because you know they're just trying to make a living, and they were all like young girls, and they were all really cute and nice. And I just thought, there's no way I can, like you said, George, you can't not tip them. You know, you can't like they were spending. Yeah, I think it was you, Cap.
Hey, I got one other question. Hey, John, one other question. When the limo driver drops you off.
Oh yeah, did he ask for a tip?
Yeah, did you tip him?
We gave him 20.
Okay, that's all right. That's fine.
Yeah, we just gave him a 20 for running us back because we thought it was nice. But Slee and I learned a very valuable lesson. If you walk into one of those places and you look around and you don't know who the suckers are, it's you.
It's you. That's right.
It's you. All right, boys, I got to go catch a bus. Hey, but how about that? We did a whole crosstalk with no sports.
No sound.
Nothing
no
serious.
Sports. Right.
And it was the three of us.
Yeah,
look
it was
at that hugely successful.
Let's keep
crosstalk.
This going, John.
It was awesome.
There you go.
Amen. This will be the goal. This will be
all
the
right.
goal. All right. Have a great show, boys. So now and Cap next, ESPN LA.
Oh, this is where I'm going to read something. I'm going to say that Super Crosstalk is being presented by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Now I'm done.